Let me give you a kind of a simple example. I'd like you to try something. Please listen and please do this. What I want you to do is think of something you really want to have happen in your future, something you like to have or do or be. And what I'd like you to do is hope that you'll get this to happen in your life. Okay, try it. Think of something you really want in your life, something you really want to have happen, and hope it'll happen. Notice how it feels when you hope it'll happen. You may even notice what you say to yourself when you hope something will happen. Now, what I want you to do is get out of that state, completely get out of that state for a second. And now let's have you think about the same thing you want to have happen in your life, but this time, I want you to expect that it will happen. Absolutely, totally expect it. Know it, okay? And when you know it's going to happen, I want you to notice what happens to the pictures in your mind as you think about it. What's different? I want you to notice the difference in your body. Absolutely expect it will happen. You expect this will occur. You absolutely know it. Now, I got a question for you. Is there a difference in how you feel in your body, first of all? And I think you'll find the answer is yes. In addition, is there a difference in even how you visualize these two things in your mind? There are several distinctions that I make usually when I ask people what the difference is between their hoping and their expecting. Invariably, number one distinction is people tell me things like, well, I noticed that when I was hoping that the picture was dim or it was dark or it was gray or it was black and white or it was two pictures. I saw myself succeeding, but I also saw the possibility of failing. Versus when I expected, I saw just one picture. I saw it happening. Interesting. When you focus on it just happening, you feel confident. When you focus on it might happen or it might not happen, you don't feel so confident. Is that fair to say? Also, when people focus on things that they're expecting, many times they put it in color. The other thing that commonly comes up is people say things like, well, when I was hoping, I felt kind of passive. And when I was expecting, I felt active. I felt like I needed to do something. Interesting. Was that true for you? The reason is whatever we focus on, we get. So if you're focusing on two possibilities, your brain is getting different neuroassociations. It's going, could be painful, could be pleasurable. Your brain doesn't know what to do. It doesn't feel confident. But when you expect and focus on one result and you say, this is what it is, I'm going to accomplish this, I expect it, immediately your level of self-confidence goes up and you feel active immediately because your brain says, hey, if I do this, I can get some pleasure in my life. Does that make sense? That's the process we're talking about. We must control our focus. And one way to do it, of course, is to control our focus by controlling the questions we ask ourselves. Invariably, people who have a lot of doubt ask questions that create it. They say things like, well, could I really get this done, I wonder? Or, God, I wonder if this will get screwed up too. Versus coming from the place of saying, how can I get this done? Or better, what's the best way I can get this done? See, when something comes up for me, if I want to be confident, I don't say, gosh, do you think I can really pull this off? I ask myself, what's the best way to get this done? And enjoy the process. Now, by doing that, listen to the presupposition there. The presupposition is my mind's going to focus on how to get it done. I'm going to start expecting it's going to get done. I'm going to feel confident. Versus saying, will it work or will it not? In which case, I start focusing on two different possibilities and I lose my confidence. Are you following me? Good. Now, third way that we can control our focus is just to change our core beliefs. And we've already talked about how to do this over and over again. If you walk around in life believing that the only way you can feel confident is if you've already accomplished something, you got a problem. You're limiting yourself to the number of things you can ever feel confident about and succeed. In other words, some people say, well, how can I be confident when I've never done it before? Listen, I feel confident in all kinds of things I've never done before. You say, well, that's because you're screwed up. No, that's not why it is. It's because I come from a belief system that says this, that if I can imagine it, I can achieve it. So if I can even imagine it, I know I can achieve it, and that allows me to be confident. Plus, I have a belief system that says, if I'm committed, there's always a way to make it work. And no matter how tough the situation is, if I don't know how to make it work, somebody else does, and I can get their help. So I come from that place, and that allows me to be confident. I know I can get help. I know if I'm committed, there's a way to do it. And I know that anything in the past I've really been able to imagine accomplishing and finding a role model for, I can accomplish. Hey, listen, everything you do now, you once weren't good at. Everything you do now, there was a time when you had not done it. Why wait to get confident? Besides that, I know I can be confident about what I'm about to begin because I know, look, if it doesn't work out, I'll learn something. And that makes me feel confident because that learning will allow me to be better in the future. In other words, set yourself up to be able to be confident. Again, I'm not suggesting be foolhardy. I'm just telling you how to turn confidence on when you need it. And most of the time, you do need it. So a key question a lot of people ask me is, well, how can I create that level of belief? I understand I can change my body, but how can I create that belief so I wouldn't have to work at it? Well, there's a simple process that I teach people, and I call it my success cycle. And it's, for me, is my way of explaining why people who succeed seem to continue to succeed and get even stronger, and people who fail seem to go down a downward spiral. Why do the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Not just in terms of rich or poor financially, but rich meaning mental, emotional, social, spiritual, intellectual, physiological, and financial. I put a copy of the drawing of my success cycle there on your summary. So if you take a look at it, you'll see that there are four elements that I think affect the quality of our lives. And I've got them represented there by those four boxes. Up in the top left-hand corner there, you should see the word potential. What's the potential of any human being? I personally believe it absolutely is unlimited. None of us even come close to scratching our real potential. The second element that affects human performance is our actions, up there in the box in the right-hand corner. The third element that affects performance are the actual results that we've gotten. In other words, what's the impact of our present actions and potential being utilized? And finally, the fourth element that affects performance is our beliefs. And you'll see that down in the left-hand corner in that box. And you notice that all these boxes have arrows that connect them. And they're all pointing in a particular direction, going clockwise, as if this was a continuous cycle. How does it work? Well, number one, what's the potential of any human being? Again, unlimited. But do most people's results in life, that bottom right-hand corner box, do most people's results reflect that level of potential? I would say no way. What's the problem? You might say, oh, I see what it is, Tony. It's that second box at the top. They don't take enough what? Action. I think that's true in many cases, but that's not the only problem. There are a lot of people who go out there and take a lot of action and still get lousy results. Why? Action by itself is great, but it is not enough. Hey, if you're in sales and you go out and make 100 cold calls because you're doing lousy, but you go out in a state of mind where you don't expect anyone's going to buy, and you turn to people and say things like, you wouldn't want to buy anything from me, would you? Maybe you don't say that verbally, but maybe your face says that because you don't expect them to. Is that going to affect your results? You better believe it's going to. You're going to get lousy results. In other words, success starts with our beliefs. If you look at that bottom left-hand box, that is the core of your performance. Think about it. See, the potential is there, but if for some reason you start out with some limiting beliefs like, well, I don't have that much self-confidence anyway, or I don't have the background, or I've never done this before, so I probably won't succeed anyway. If you have that belief, are you likely to tap a lot of your potential? Highly unlikely. Now, if you don't think you're going to succeed and you're not using much potential, are you likely to take massive action? Hardly. Now, when you tap a little bit of potential and you only take a little bit of action, what kind of results do you get? A little bit of results, if any. Now, what does that do to your brain and your beliefs? Your brain goes, see, I told you so. And now you have this reinforcing belief pattern because it points back to that experience. So what happens? You have even less belief. You tap even less potential. You take even less action, if that's possible. You get even worse results. And now you're truly locked into the downward spiral to the point where now you start looking at how can you do the very least to get by. That's called death rattle to personal success. The opposite is also true, too. Sometimes people have an experience in life where for some reason they get a result or something happens and they begin to absolutely believe, not just hope, but know that they can accomplish something. When that happens, whether it's because you changed your body or you had a new experience, you're going to tap a lot more potential when you know you're going to succeed, aren't you? And therefore, you're going to probably take a lot more action. Knowing you're going to succeed, you're inspired, you're going to go for it. When you take a lot of action and use a lot of your potential, what kind of results do you get? Usually great results. When you get great results, what does that do to your belief? Your brain goes, see, I told you you would succeed. And sure enough, now your beliefs are even stronger. So what do? You tap even more potential. You take massive action and you get even greater results. What happens? Your beliefs are even stronger. And now you're in that success cycle. You're in that place where you literally have momentum that drives you to a whole new level. That's how beliefs are formed. You might say, well, how can I get results, though? What do I do if I'm on the downward spiral? Well, you don't change your potential. That's always there. You don't just take action, although that's a great first step. You've got to change your beliefs, and one of the easiest ways to do that is change your results in advance. You might say, what do you mean? Well, let me give you an example. Would you please stop what you're doing right now and do this exercise with me? Change your focus and pay 100% attention. You're going to like this. Here's what I want you to do. Please stand up just for a moment. Come on, stand up there. Come on. And what I'd like you to do is put your feet together so they're pointing straight ahead. Then what I want you to do is just take your right arm and bring it straight out in front of you and point your right index finger directly in front of you. So you're pointing straight ahead. When I say now, what I'd like you to do is turn clockwise as far as you can comfortably without stretching yourself or pushing yourself or really hurting yourself, okay? Ready? Go ahead and turn clockwise now as far as you can and just notice where you end up. Good. Now come back again. Okay, drop your right arm, close your eyes, and what I want you to do is something really simple, some simple neuroassociative conditioning. Now, it's going to be simpler than anything we've done so far. All I want you to do is imagine that you're bringing your right arm back up again, and I want you to imagine it so vividly that you actually feel as if and see your hand coming up in front of you, straight out, pointing in front of you again. In other words, don't actually do it, but make it so real that it feels as if it's happening and you can see it occurring. Then in your mind's eye, see and feel yourself turning clockwise again, only this time going twice as far. And make it effortless and expect to enjoy it. Good. And then come back around in your mind. And again in your mind, see and feel your arm coming up in front of you with your finger pointing straight ahead. And when I say now, turn clockwise and see and feel. No, don't actually do it, but make it so real it feels like it's happening. See and feel yourself again turning, and this time going three times as far as you did the first time. Excellent. And now do it a third time. Do it very rapidly and feel and expect yourself to go almost four times as far where you turn almost all the way around. Very good. Now, open your eyes. Bring your right arm back up physically this time with your finger pointing straight ahead. And when I say now, turn clockwise and go as far as you can without hurting yourself and watch how much further you go this time. Go for it. If you're like most people, you've gone much further. In fact, the average person goes at least a third further than they did before. So I got a question for you. Go ahead and have a seat. My question is this. What happened here? Did your potential change? No, you always had the potential to turn that far. Did you like make major changes in your actions? No way. You didn't make major changes in your actions, but your results did change. Why? Because by rehearsing in your mind over and over again, you conditioned your mind to believe, to feel certain that it could go much further. You created an association in your nervous system that said, this will feel good and I can go further. And now you've gone much further. In fact, if you did it again, you could go even further again. So this is a perfect metaphor for what has to happen in life. If you want to succeed, you need to rehearse over and over succeeding until it's so real for you, your brain begins to believe it. Now you'll tap more potential, you'll take better action, and in real life, you'll get better results. Then it'll reinforce your belief, and now you're off and running. Does this make sense? This is the way to create lifelong, unstoppable self-confidence. This is what I did for myself, because I was on the downward spiral. All I did was create the results in my head so vividly, I began to believe them. When I believed them, I tapped more potential, I took more action, I started to get those real results in my life, emotionally, economically, in my relationships, in virtually every area of my life.